is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
All right, welcome to Fantasy Football Today. We have a very fun show. Special guest on today, Rashard Matthews of the Tennessee Titans. You know he's from the Tennessee Titans. But first, Adam, Dave, and Jamie, you're talking breakouts. What's up, guys?
What's up, Adam? We have a new friend of the show, and we have a new coworker of the company.
Tony Romo.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it my mission to get Tony Romo on the show. I feel like it's realistic now we get Tony Romo
on.
Yeah,
shouldn't be too hard.
That's easy. You should make it your mission to be in the booth with Tony and Jim.
Who's Jim?
Jim Nance, maybe you've heard of him.
Oh.
Famous podcaster.
Oh, Jim. Oh, yeah, sure. We go way back.
Also a big-time fantasy football player.
Very big-time.
Yes.
Yeah, you probably have a better chance of getting Jim on our show than we do.
I would love to have Jim Nance on the show. That's fine.
Yes.
I'll get Jim
Nance. We once had Jim Nance on one of our video shows, and he critiqued us for not having Emmanuel Sanders and
Richard Rodgers.
Richard Rodgers.
Richard Rodgers.
Richard Rodgers high enough.
He loved Richard Rodgers that year.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, enough about Jim Nance. Let's talk about some breakouts, and we welcome you to the show. I don't think we're going to have time for emails today because we're going to have Rashard Matthews on. We're hopefully going to ask him about Die Hard. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com is our email address.
That's what we're going to ask him.
That's the only thing we're going to ask him.
Never mind football.
No, I'll Die Hard.
Die Hard Christmas movie.
And I think, how far away are we from the draft? About a month? Less than a month?
Less than a month. The draft is April 26th.
So let's do the contest again. We'll do the podcast league contest. Last year we did it. You get the most top 10 picks right, and you're in the league. So basically you send an email to fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. You guess the top 10, and it doesn't really matter which team they go to. The only thing that matters is the order, and I have to read through hundreds and hundreds of them. It's quite a project for me, but it was really cool. It was a lot of fun. You should wait, though. Wait until later on in the process when trades are made and stuff like that so you have a better chance of winning. I'll tell you more about it later. News and notes. Tony Romo.
Well, do you have a winner from the tournament or no?
Well, we had the winner. He's in the Fantasy Baseball League. But if you want to know who won the full tournament, I can tell you that.
So he really didn't win then because he wanted to be in the baseball league.
Correct.
He won. He got to pick to play fantasy baseball. That's his choice. That's his problem.
We had a tie.
The fantasy baseball guy over here.
No, I said it's his problem, not his right.
His problem. We had a tie atop the standings. Frank Hood and Richard Huffins. I probably mispronounced that. Congratulations, 148 points. And I think I beat all of you, in case you're curious. Oh, Jamie did horribly. Just horribly. Dave did even worse. Dave
did terrible.
So badly. You scored 50 points. You were
that
1,200.
Bad?
Yes.
What did the winner score?
You scored 50. The winner scored 148.
Okay, so I was only off by 98.
I scored, I don't know how, I can't spell my name right now, so nobody cares. Tony Romo retired, I scored 111 points. Tony Romo retired, and that sucks for DeAndre Hopkins, right?
Right.
Potentially. Who's to say that Tom Savage wasn't going to be better than Tony Romo?
I think everybody was pretty much saying that.
Well, let's see. Guy coming off two back surgeries and two broken collarbones versus somebody who's healthy and been in the system all offseason.
But
it's a guarantee that he's better?
Come on.
No, it's not a guarantee that he's better.
Come on. You know you wanted Romo to go to the Texans.
I thought it was going to happen.
No, that is basically the question. Like, you want Romo to go to the Texans because you don't want Tom Savage to be DeAndre Hopkins' quarterback.
Agree. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be better. Did you think that Dak Prescott was going to be better than Tony Romo?
All right, so we won't eliminate. So, well, you have to make your rankings based on assumptions. Like, this can't be good.
I didn't move Romo. I didn't move Hopkins one bit.
See, and I did, because I thought that when they traded Osweiler, that was the precursor to Romo coming to town. Thought it was a slam. I even told my dad. I said, Dad, Tony Romo's going to be a Texan. And he's like, are you kidding? And I said, no, really, that's what's going to happen. Now what's going to happen is he's going to call me. He's going to make fun of me for saying that Tony Romo's going to Texans when he didn't go to the Texans. And then he's going to ask me a bunch of questions about Romo joining CBS as if Tony Romo and I share an office. You know, what's his jacket size like? What kind of stuff does he put on his hamburger? I don't know, Dad. I'm not that close with Tony yet.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, if we get a Romo interview, I am going to ask him what kind of stuff he puts on his burger. But Jamie, if Romo had gone to the Texans, would you have then moved DeAndre Hopkins up in your rankings?
Yes.
Okay. Just one other quick note. Head coach Brian Kelly, Notre Dame's head coach, he was on SiriusXM, and he said that his former quarterback, DeShone Kizer, might be a first-round pick, should have returned to college for another year, and, quote, he needs more time to grow in so many areas, not just on the field, but off the field, end quote. So if your team drafts DeShone Kizer, I don't know. Just
know the last time that somebody said that about a first-round pick quarterback?
I bet we're thinking of the same coach.
Cam?
No, Pete Carroll.
Yep.
He said that about Mark Sanchez.
And he was right.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't a good thing to hear. It's such a bad year for quarterbacks. Wow.
At the owners' meetings, Pete Prisco, our colleague, was asking, I know he asked Hugh Jackson. I think he asked a bunch of the teams that were expected to pick a quarterback. Is it worth just not even bothering this year because next year's class is so loaded? So is it almost as if do you bother spending the first-round pick, go through another struggling season, and then next year you have the chance to get either the kid from USC or the kid from Wyoming, you know, or some of the guys that are considered to be the best of the best and look much more like franchise guys compared to these guys.
You could almost trade your first-round pick this year to a first-round pick next year if you can pull it off, and then you've got extra ammo to move up to get the guy you want next year.
Jamie, what did the coaches say? Do you know?
I was standing there when he talked to Hugh Jackson, and I think Pete wrote a story on it, so I don't want to say the wrong thing, but Hugh kind of alluded to not necessarily praising this next year's class, but more so talking about how you have to evaluate both classes to a certain extent when you're in the market for it. You know, so you're doing your college evaluations. You're not overlooking those guys also.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. So I wanted to finish up on the owners' meetings, and you know, we talked about the NFC notes on our last podcast. We did not get to the Tampa Bay backfield. We didn't get to that backfield, right? We didn't talk about Doug Martin, really?
No, with what Dirk Koetter said, no.
Yeah, so tell us what Dirk Koetter said. And Martin is suspended 3 games for violating the performance enhancement drug policy. He missed 1 game at the end of last year, 3 more. That leaves Jacquez Rogers and Charles Sims. So, Jamie, give us your thoughts and what Dirk Koetter said about the running backs.
Yeah, they're kind of all over the place, you know, in terms of how Tampa Bay, I think, is approaching this, because Jameis Winston was photographed working out with Adrian Peterson, so Koetter was asked about that, and he kind of caught him off guard, but he did say he's curious to talk to Jameis about what kind of shape Peterson is in and how he looks. He also talked about that they need to address running back in the draft, not necessarily specifically saying they're going to get somebody in the first round, but something that they need to consider. And then he was asked about Doug Martin and kind of where he's at with his role with the team, and he said he's a Doug Martin fan. That's a direct quote. You know, he said he doesn't really know how to manage the situation because he's never been in this situation before with the guy suspended to start the season. So he said they're kind of approaching it as if he's on the PUP list until week 4. And so they'll kind of evaluate him and how he is, you know, health-wise, mental-wise. Remember, he kind of had a bout with depression, I believe it was, that caused him to go into rehab and that ultimately led to the suspension or was the precursor to the suspension. So they still have to evaluate Doug Martin. I think if you're approaching it now, let's just say you're doing a dynasty draft now, I don't know how heavily you'd want to invest in Doug Martin, who's 27, who, you know, fell on his face the year after a successful rookie campaign, the year after getting a big 5-year contract extension. You know, who knows if he's ever going to regain that form. But I think the one thing that you want to keep an eye on with this team is they picked number 19 overall in the first round. That'll be the Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey range. So if, in fact, they do go get somebody like that, it's probably going to mean the end of Doug Martin's, you know, tenure as a featured guy. And Rodgers and Charles Sims will step into backup roles. But if they go with these same 3 guys, and Sims was very good 2 years ago as a change of pace receiver out of the backfield. He had 51 catches, scored 4 touchdowns, had over 1,000 total yards. And Jacquez Rogers was very good in a backup role, stepping into a starter role last year. You know, you project the stats over 16 games, he would have had decent numbers. I would almost just wait on Rodgers and let somebody else take Martin, because Martin's going to still get drafted ahead of him, because it's very clear that Dirk Koetter, who has a history with Rodgers going back to when they were both in Atlanta, he's not afraid to lean on him, as we saw with the touches that he had.
Man, is there a weirder career through 5 years than Doug Martin's? I mean, he has had 2 unbelievable seasons, played 16 games and rushed for 1,400 or more than 1,400 yards. Both times, he had good receiving numbers those 2 years too, 23 total touchdowns in 2 years, and a top 3 fantasy running back both times. The other 3 seasons, Martin's played a combined 25 games. He's rushed for less than 500 yards both times. He scored a combined 9 touchdowns, or not both times, all 3 times. He scored a combined 9 touchdowns in those 3 seasons. Is it just he's good when he's healthy and he's not good when he's banged up, or I can't figure out Doug Martin. So
I think it's he's good when he's motivated.
Maybe.
More than anything else. I remember going back to two seasons ago when I went to Tampa Bay for a preseason game. And the dude looked, he had just got done playing whatever it was, a half of a preseason game. And he was smiling, and he was confident, and he had slimmed down. And everybody in the press box was talking about how he'd quit eating food that was bad for him and got out of some bad habits because he knew it was a make or break year for him. And he plowed through and he did great. And then maybe he kind of rested on his laurels a little bit after that.
Yeah, maybe he got his contract.
And we saw last year, but look, injuries obviously play a factor. And if you're hurt, you can't do anything about it. You have to heal up and go out there and play. But there's something to be said about just the human side of football and just the mentality of being motivated to go out there and play and do your best versus, you know, everybody's got a job. Everybody listening, whether you go to school or maybe go to school is your job, but otherwise you have a job. Some days you can't wait to get into the office, and some days you dread it. And I'm sure it's like that for football players, and it might have been like that for Doug Martin. And then on top of it all with him, he had the drug issue. And that probably took some of the football rush away from him because he was doing something else. He was more focused on that. Mm. At least that's how I might see it.
Dave, were you excited to come to the office today or just not really feeling
it? I was. I knew that we were going to talk to Rishard Matthews, and you know the whole Tony Romo news was unfolding as I was driving in. I was excited.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. So that does make for a good day for a fantasy analyst. Well, let's transition from, and we're only going to do half of Jamie's breakouts today, quarterbacks and running backs. Let's transition from Doug Martin to Jamie's breakout quarterbacks, Jameis Winston and Dak Prescott. Now, here's a stat I want to give about, and this is breakouts 1.0, by the way. There will be three versions of this. Things will change, but we got some off-season content for you. Here's a stat I wanted to give about Jameis Winston, who finishes the number 10 quarterback in fantasy, 6 point per passing touchdowns last year. In six games without Doug Martin, he averaged 22 fantasy points per game. The other 10 games with Doug Martin, Winston averaged 16.7 fantasy points per game, 5.3 points per game fewer, basically a touchdown, almost a touchdown less per game without Doug Martin. I mean, it's really the interceptions. I don't know that I make too much of this because looking like really breaking it down, the yards per game were very similar within five. The touchdowns were better without Doug Martin, but he threw 4 picks in 6 games without Martin. He threw 14 picks in the other 10 games. That seems to be the biggest thing there. Do you make anything of that, the Winston numbers with or without Doug Martin?
I'll tell you one thing. I guess I'll answer that first. Yeah, it's interesting of note for sure. You know, that certainly speaks to a guy who needs to do a better job of not relying on maybe a dependable running back as opposed to, you know, say Jacquizz Rodgers, who they know is a backup, but they still fed Rodgers the ball several times in the 5 starts that he made. So I don't know if it's just, maybe Doug Martin will bail them out a little bit more. It's not like the touches were dramatically different when Martin was starting versus when Winston was starting. I'd also like to look at the opponents that they're facing. Just to back up for 1 second. So mm-hmm. I wrote this before the meetings that I just went to when I got a chance to speak to these coaches. And one thing Dirk Cutter said was he's got to let Jameis be Jameis a little bit more, which there was some times last year where it didn't appear like he trusted him to the level that you would expect a coach quarterback relationship when they seem to be so tight as a coordinator quarterback relationship in Jameis's rookie season. And Jameis really stumped to have him as the coach. When Lovie Smith was replaced, but he said he's got to let him kind of just play. And I think that's going to happen this year now because he's got more capable weapons around him, maybe not a capable running game, you know, depending on who they do or don't add and how this all plays itself out. So it was interesting to hear Cutter kind of say, you know, this is his time to grow. And I think we'll see that, you know, for a guy who has a good base fantasy wise to take that next step.
Yeah, he didn't really take that next step next year. It's actually kind of interesting. Winston scored only 5 more fantasy points in 2016 compared to 2015, but he went from the number 14 quarterback to the number 10 quarterback. So it's probably a bit of a down year when you look at the top 12. Dave, let me ask you about Winston, who finished 10th, and Prescott, who finished 9th. Winston gets DeSean Jackson in the offseason. Prescott so far hasn't gotten anything. Who do you like better going into next year?
I've got Winston 1 spot higher. I just think that there's a little bit more of a ceiling with Prescott. I don't know if he, I don't know if I can count on Dak to top what he did as a rookie. And I'm a little bit worried about a regression there, even though we can make the assumption Dez is healthier coming into the year. Maybe he won't have any injury concerns. That offensive line is still going to be in very good shape for the Cowboys. But I think Jameis's line can get better. His weapons are better, at least as far as receivers go and the receiving core that he's got compared to Dax. And I'm still not sure how good this Tampa Bay defense is. But the it's good, but is it good enough to force Tampa Bay to, to allow Tampa Bay to run the football to grind down the clock at the end of games? And how many of those games will there actually be when they're in the same division as New Orleans and Atlanta, and those games are going to be theoretically high-scoring games?
I'll tell you one thing about Dak that I like. When Dez was healthy, and so his final nine games, you take out week 17, he averaged 23.2 fantasy points a game. And he had four of those with at least 29 points. The overall course of the season, Dak averaged 21.2 points. So he was 2 points per game better when Dez was 100% healthy. Mm. And there were only six quarterbacks last year who averaged 23 fantasy points a game. So
I think
he's
got, awesome.
He's got a chance to grow a little bit.
I think he's going to be great. Now, you saw, talk about regression with Prescott. And, yeah, I mean, I think the interceptions. Prescott threw four picks, 23 touchdowns, four picks. Like, I think about Colin Kaepernick. He had a three-interception season, went up to eight the next year. Nick Foles had 27 touchdowns and two picks in 2013, 13 touchdowns, 10 picks the next year. So, and that was only in eight games. So, yeah, I mean, the interceptions have probably come up a bit. But it's so interesting. Like, just on paper, Prescott completed 68% of his passes last year. Winston completed about 61% of his passes. Prescott threw four picks. Winston threw 18. And you both have Winston ahead of Dak, right?
Yeah, I think, like Dave said, the weapons are a little bit better. There's, I think, just a little bit of a higher ceiling that Jameis can get to this year. The one thing about Dak, though, is, and I know you like this a lot, Adam, just based on how we talk about Romo, it ties into both these guys. If you go back to 2014, the last time that Romo was healthy for a full season, and they may have won a Super Bowl that year if the Dez catch counts. Behind that offensive line, capable quarterback, healthy wide receiver, Tony Romo was awesome. You know, he was efficient. He did a good job in less attempts to still be a great fantasy quarterback. And Dak was essentially the same thing. And so it's a pretty good, you know, scenario of seeing two quarterbacks, two different guys, because they obviously operate differently, but fantasy production somewhat similar, and shows you that with that offensive line, with that run game, with the suspect defense, because now they're down three defensive backs from a year ago, that Dak can do something similar to what Romo can do from a fantasy point total year over year if you take out the 2015 season.
And you also look at, like, if you want to take away from Dak and say, well, they got such a running game. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott had 15 touchdowns last year, and Prescott, as a rookie, still finished as the number nine quarterback in fantasy. Like, I don't know that Elliott's going to get much more than that. Now, maybe Dak Prescott's rushing touchdowns go down. He did have six rushing touchdowns.
He tied Tyrod Taylor for the most in the NFL with six.
Yeah, so that probably comes down. I mean, Jameis Winston went from 6 to 1, but you'd think the passing numbers should go up. All right,
I wouldn't be surprised if he's a 4,000-yard passer.
And he was only 3,700 last year. Those are your quarterbacks. Dave, let's take a look at Jamie's breakout running backs and breakouts 1.0. And we've actually spoken about these guys throughout the last few months. Isaiah Crowell, Rob Kelly, Ty Montgomery, and Paul Perkins. Isaiah Crowell, Rob Kelly, Ty Montgomery, and Paul Perkins. Dave, who's your favorite in that group?
It's Crowell, and it's not really that close. I like Crowell the most. Kelly would be second, and then I think it would go Montgomery and then Perkins. I love what's happening in Cleveland right now, where they've beefed up that offensive line. They haven't brought in another running back yet to take work away from Isaiah Crowell. I think they're going to stick with him. They're going to stick with Duke Johnson. And last year, Crowell had, 1,200 total yards and something like eight touchdowns?
40 catches, yep.
And 40 catches on top of that. So he kind of showed some versatility a little bit on top of everything else. And I think he's going to have opportunities both at the goal line and catching passes to keep doing what he's doing for Cleveland and to grow a little bit more. I would like it if Cleveland somehow could end up with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Sure.
Like, that would make me feel absolutely great about Isaiah Crowell, because if they don't solve the quarterback riddle, then they'll probably be in a similar situation as they were last year. And there weren't a lot of carries for Isaiah Crowell on third down last year. I want to avoid that from happening again this year. And I think if they have a better quarterback in place to go with an improved defense, which I think they'll have, and a great offensive line, I think Crowell will be fine.
All right, let me just say this for Crowell here. They went 1-15 last year. And I don't like running backs on bad teams because I worry about touchdowns. I worry about them getting carries, and it just they're getting blown out, and right. They have to stop running the ball. And that did happen to Crowell, like weeks 5 through 16 or something. He had two games with more than 13 carries, and he had 7 games with less than 30 rushing yards. So that's still a concern, and
right.
They'll be better.
Those touchdowns.
They'll be better, but are they going to – I mean, if they win 3 games, it would be great for them, I feel. So, I know that's harsh, but – they're Cleveland.
Oh, I think they'll win more than 3 games.
I mean, okay, like if they win 5 games.
Yeah, I think 5 is the number you're looking at. And it's really just counting on this offensive line to be dramatically better. And so when you're taking a guy that has, you know, I'll use the word again, has his base of where he was a year ago, and really for the last 2 years he's been good. Last year he was, you know, borderline, I don't want to say great, but he was above average. This should be 1,500 total yards. It should be close to 10 touchdowns.
Jamie, is
Ooh,
Crowell your...
That's very aggressive.
Yes.
Jamie,
but
is Crowell...
it's not far off. He had 1,208.
Is Crowell your favorite in this group, too? Dave said it's that Crowell's his favorite.
Yeah, as I wrote in here, Crowell, to me, is the only one that's solidified in his role. The other 3 guys could easily face a challenge of somebody better than them. The Giants... You know, we talked about this. They may look at Adrian Peterson. I don't think they're going to necessarily attack the draft with a running back early. So Perkins has a chance to be the starter, probably more so. And Kelly, we talked about this last week, I believe. But Jay Gruden was very excited. He was, you know, giddy talking about Rob Kelly and how much he liked the way that he played. But also in that same context, talked about how this draft is loaded with talent.
Mm-hmm.
And then Montgomery, you know, I think from what Mike McCarthy said, that Montgomery is, you know, going to face some competition and not just going to go into the season with, you know, him and Kristen Michael, but it just depends on when these guys are getting the competition. If it's a day 3 draft pick, then you should feel much more comfortable about Kelly and Perkins and Montgomery because all 3 could open the season as starters in potentially very good offenses.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, I say I don't like running backs on bad teams. Let me give you the running backs, or let me give you the teams that won 5 or fewer games last year. And you at home can decide if the running backs were worth owning. New York Jets. And Dave and Jamie, you can also chime in.
Yes.
Yes, they
were. Very much worth owning.
Cleveland Browns.
Yes.
I would only want Crowell.
No. Were they last year, I'm saying?
Were they worth owning? I would have only wanted Crowell.
Yeah. He was
Duke was a nuisance.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Not a chance.
Los Angeles Chargers.
Well, that was Melvin.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying
he was pretty good.
Chicago Bears.
Yep.
San Francisco 49ers. Yep.
When Hyde was good, he was great.
Yep. And the Rams. No, not really.
That guy sucked.
I don't want to talk about that.
But it's weird. I mean, they actually did pretty well, those running backs on bad teams. All right. Anything else to say about this group, guys?
I hope none of these teams draft another running back.
Do you think, sorry for making this the Crowell hour, do you think that those catches, those 40 catches for Isaiah Crowell, 319 yards, are repeatable?
How many of them do you think came on first and second down?
24.
34.
Oh, 34. Wow.
So he, if you just look at his splits from last year, it seems to me that he was their running downs guy, and then Duke came in on third downs. So first, second down, that's typically when the running downs are, and Crowell was in there. Had 190 carries on first and second down, 6 carries on third down. So that's the one thing from stopping me from cannonballing into the Isaiah Crowell pool for 2017 is I don't know just how much third down work he's going to get, and he only had 6 catches on third down. So how often is he going to work in that situation, and Cleveland's going to be in that situation a decent amount of the time.
Well, I'll tell you what, those are running backs. I'd rather talk to a wide receiver. Let's bring on Rishard Matthews. What do you think?
Yeah.
And now joined by Tennessee Titans wide receiver Rishard Matthews, who had 945 yards, 9 touchdowns last year, and was a must-start guy in fantasy for a while. Rashard, thank you so much for coming on Fantasy Football today. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, you guys. Thank you for having me.
It's absolutely our pleasure. All right, do you play fantasy football?
No, I do not play. I kind of got into it a little bit, I think, at the beginning of the season. But I wasn't really into it that much this year.
Oh, man. All right. Well, hopefully we can fix that. But, you know, I wanted to let you know, you finished, maybe you know this, as the number 12 wide receiver in fantasy. And, you know, a lot of people play in 12-team leagues. That makes you a number one wide receiver. And that's an awesome year for you. So congratulations, first of all. But how do you view yourself amongst your peers at the wide receiver position?
Well, first of all, I appreciate it. Thank you. And I don't know. I try to not really compare myself to anybody or anything like that, because, you know, it's kind of separate. You know, you got the superstars, you got the guys that are getting 12,000 yards, over 130 targets and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm definitely not in that category. I just try to go out there and make the most of my opportunity. You know, just try to catch every ball thrown my way and make plays. And this year I was fortunate to just take advantage of the opportunity I was given and make plays and get in the end zone.
It sounds to me like you pay attention to stats. Is that fair to say, Rashard, that you care a little bit about the stats that you get?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think people, you know, guys don't pay attention to their stats. A lot involved with stats, you know, you judge it off how much you might get, you know, at the end of the season. So, I mean, you know, I definitely pay attention to stats. Kind of halfway through the season, I don't pay attention, but once you get to week 10 or 11, you kind of start paying attention a little bit more.
Rashard, last year was your first year in Tennessee. Obviously, you made the commitment to go there. What was the move like for you, and sort of how did you approach going to the Titans? And was it a situation where you saw there was a need for kind of a number one receiver there?
Yeah, I would say number one. The biggest thing was for me was just opportunity. I don't want to downplay the room, but, you know, I just knew I can go in and contribute any way possible right away. And that's just, you know, Tennessee was the best fit, and that's where me and my agent chose to go.
Yeah, and actually read an article that said you were, quote, pissed at the beginning of the season when you were splitting reps with Andre Johnson. Now, you did go on to say some good things in that article about Andre Johnson and what you learned from him, but you understandably came over as a free agent and you wanted more of a role, you wanted more playing time, and certainly you rewarded them. But how do you balance that, you know, being angry or pissed off about not being on the field more, but not wanting to disrupt team chemistry, not wanting to be a distraction? How did you deal with that situation?
Yeah, it was really tough, honestly. You know, for myself, you know, my personal life and everything, you know, outside of football, it was just tough. You know, you gotta try to be a professional, go to work, and, you know, I knew people can kind of tell that I was pissed off, and, you know, I for sure was mad and angry. You know, I didn't go to the Titans, you know, I didn't sign with the team to sit the bench or split reps with anybody, especially given I feel like I was performing well throughout the group to be on the field, taking way more reps than I was getting at the time. But, you just got to be professional as, you know, be as much professional as you can, and be positive, and try to, you know, just go out there and make plays and still practice hard and make catches and continue to show people that doubt you that you need to be, you know, on the field more during on game days.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know a certain franchise that might have doubted you a little bit, and there's nothing they can do about it now because you're a member of the Titans. And we mentioned the numbers already, 945 yards, 9 touchdowns. You obviously know them. Big time numbers from you last season, but it's the first time you've broken out like this. And so I'm wondering if there's something inside you as motivation this offseason to try and prove that you are that guy. You are what we saw in 2016, and not the guy who, through the first 4 years of his career, didn't have big numbers, but also didn't have the same type of an opportunity. I'm wondering if that's something that's in your mind right now, basically.
You know, I mean, it's been in my mind, but at this point where I'm at is just going in and try to, you know, be better than I was last year, contribute. And the biggest thing is just, you know, being able to play after, you know, the regular season, you know, being able to make it to a postseason. I haven't been able to make it to a postseason game yet. So that's the biggest thing in my mind, and going back, just buying in and doing what I got to do to, you know, possibly, you know, or not possibly, but try and lead the group and team and lead by my play and just go in there and do what I got to do. Really, that's just the biggest thing that I've been focusing on.
Well, in breaking out, now you're on people's radar, and you know, we want to know what 2017 is going to be like for fantasy owners when they draft. Want to know what Rishard Matthews can do. I wanted to know, though, did you as you started putting up numbers as the season went on, did you start to see more double teams? Did that affect you at all? And if not, do you anticipate that happening more in the upcoming season?
I wouldn't say I started to see more double teams. I think defenses kind of went to a zone more, I guess. But we run the ball so much. I mean, they stack the box, and we gotta get open and make catches. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's no secret how much we run the rock. So I really didn't see any double teams. You know, I didn't see double teams really. I think maybe one, but I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not getting double teamed like Brandon Marshall and stuff out there where, you know, they put in two people inside for sure. So, but I just try to make the most of my opportunities, go out there and catch the ball. I don't care who's guarding me.
Yeah, but that's a great point. Even though you guys don't throw the ball all that much, you're saying the running game really helped you out just because teams are stacking the box?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Okay.
Right, and that's just kind of how it goes when you're a team like Tennessee and they've got those great running backs in the backfield. Rishard, when you start to study an opponent in a given week during the season, what are some of the first things that you look for on film to try and take advantage of an opponent?
Oh, man. I just at first, you know, I watched the other team's big plays, what that receiver did specifically, like to kind of get open or you know, whatever play was called, you know, you try to just bring it up, and that's the biggest thing. But I think all our plays that we had, you know, Coach Trubisky did a great job at dialing some of them up, and they worked throughout the week, and we knew that they were going to work, you know, throughout the course of the season. So it's really just about execution. I mean, going out there and just, you know, running the plays that you run all week and executing it on game day. It doesn't really matter what defense or who's out there, honestly.
Wow.
I just go out there and play ball, man.
That's cool.
Rishard, I got a chance at the Pro Bowl to ask a bunch of the receivers there. And by the way, I think you should have been there yourself. But I got a chance to ask a bunch of the receivers there and some of the cornerbacks who they consider the best receiver in the NFL. It was interesting to get some of their takes. It was coming off of the NFC Championship game where Julio Jones just had that big game. But taking a look at the field, you mentioned a couple guys already. When you look at the landscape of your peers, who do you consider to be the best guy at the position right now?
Oh, man. That's just, for me, I feel like it's Odell. I mean, Odell, you know, there's no – I mean, him, Julio – obviously, AB and them, you know, they're up there. But, you know, I'm a big fan of Odell. I like Julio, too. Julio's just a piece. But I would say Odell. I mean, I'm sure they don't care about my opinion, but I would say Odell.
Well, I care about your opinion.
Yeah.
What about Odell sets him apart?
I mean, everything. He's a guy that you know is going to get the rock. I mean, it's no secret. You know, and the things he can do to get open – the things he can do with his hands catching the ball, the things he can do after he catches. I mean, and he just makes it so effortless at times. And I mean, he's out there, you know, swagging on people. I mean, people hate it, but I love it. You know what I mean? I hope he continues to be successful and do his thing.
Okay, are you a trash talker then? You love it when Odell does it. What are you like on the field?
I talk a little trash, but I mean, not really. Only if people talk to me. I don't go out there and just say something. I'm kind of just quiet. But if you start talking to me, I definitely talk back to you and let you know that, like, hey, you got to chill out a little bit, you know. But you know, we're all out there doing our jobs. Some guys do, but I don't really talk trash unless somebody talks to me.
Was there a moment?
Well, who's somebody that talks to you? Some of the better trash talkers on the other side of the ball?
Let's see. This past year, the only people that really talked trash to me was Harris, Chris Harris, and Talib. I mean, they could. It was kind of tough to talk trash because in the beginning of the game, you know, I'm talking trash back, and then, you know, I think I only had like one catch against Talib. You know what I'm saying? So I wish I could have got a throw back against Harris, but other than that, I mean, they did a good job. So it's tough to talk trash because, you know, they're talking trash and you're looking at kind of like, damn, like I only got like one catch. I can't really, I can say so much, but you really can't, you know? And it's like, damn, like they got me this game. So,
yeah.
You know, forget it. I'll see him next year, you know? So
do you yell at Marcus when something like that's happening? Like, Marcus, come on, man, give me the ball.
No, I mean, I'm not one of those guys. I just go out there and hopefully the ball comes out. I try to just catch every ball thrown to me in practice and then hopefully in the games. And, that's, you know, that's what I was trying to do for Marcus too, for him to gain confidence and throw him my way. And I think I did that enough for him to continue to throw my way. But Marcus is cool, calm and collected. So quarterbacks have enough on their plate. Like, they don't need me yelling in their ear trying to give me the ball.
Are you working out with him this off season?
Well, he's still rehabbing, but I think he's pretty much good to go. We're meeting up, I think, next week to throw routes and stuff. So, but I haven't seen him yet this off season.
He had a great season last year, and just looks like the sky's the limit for him. You guys had a nice connection. What do you see from Mariota? Tell us something about Marcus Mariota that only the Titans know in terms of just how good he is and what he can do on the field.
If you go back and look at my interviews, you know, people ask me all the time, and it's only his second year, and I always tell him, like, man, I don't think he's reached his peak yet. You know, he does something so effortless, and you know, like I said, he was injured and got hurt and stuff like that, so, you know, he wasn't able to finish the season, so, and, you know, tell him what could have happened if he was able to finish the season and things like that, but, you know, he makes things look so effortless. I mean, hopefully he can continue to, piggyback off the good, all the success he's had, and continue to just improve. And I think he will. He's a hard worker. He's a great leader. He understands this is his team. And going to a second year with an offense that he knows like the back of his hand, I think he'll do even better.
I want to go back in time a little bit, Rashard, and look at college, right? Because I guess there's some similarities between your college quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, and your NFL quarterback, Marcus Mariota. Are they similar? Do you see comparisons there? You put up some big numbers. Actually, the next year after Kaepernick left, you put up even bigger numbers, but you were the leading receiver that year in your 1 year with Colin. Do you see similarities between the two quarterbacks?
Yeah, for sure. They both can run. You know what I'm saying? They both are dual threats. They both have good arms to me. Marcus might have a little more touch than Cap, but it's all good. You know, Cap has a dang cannon. I think they're pretty similar, honestly.
Why do you think Colin Kaepernick is not with the team right now? We've heard, you know, vegan diet, or maybe he wants too much of a salary, or Richard Sherman and Michael Bennett thought maybe he's being blackballed because, you know, the anthem. First of all, do you keep in touch with him? And secondly, why do you think Kaepernick doesn't have a team right now?
I don't know. I think it's for clear reasons, you know, that, you know, I don't want to really get into too much detail, but,
sure.
You know, and, you know, I don't know what the salary he's asking for, so you never know. But I mean, I think it's obvious, but it is what it is, you know. I don't know. I just hope he can bounce back, and hopefully somebody can see that they, you know, take a chance with him and mold him into the quarterback that he was. And, you know, hopefully he can go out there and do things and get an opportunity and run away with it.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did get that opportunity at some point. The offseason's not over yet. Rashard, one of the things that we have to do in fantasy football, we're always learning. We're always trying to learn from our mistakes. Part of our job is to tout players and say, this guy is someone that you want. And I got to ask you, because you're a Titan and you're in that locker room and you know what's happened all season long. One guy that I told everybody to draft with one of their last picks in fantasy, it wasn't Rashard Matthews. That would have been great. It was Tajay Sharpe. And I'm kind of curious as to what happened with Tajay, because he got off to such a great start in the preseason. He looked really good, looked really comfortable. I think Marcus was just as comfortable throwing to him as it was to you, as he was to you. Just wondering what happened with Tajay, and what do you expect from him in his second season?
I just expect for him to improve and get better and do his thing. I mean, Tajay is a great player. He has great hands, you know, toughness, runs great routes. I just, you know, I hope we use him the right way, and you know try to get in the rock more, and he goes out there and takes advantage of his opportunities. You know, I don't know what really happened or whatever. You know, I feel like he had a great season. I mean, it was his first year. You know, he's going to put up crazy numbers, but I mean, you know, he still went out there, got in the end zone, made big catches for us, and contributed, and you know, did what we asked him to do. You know. So, I hope he does just come back and piggyback off of this year, but do it even better. And hopefully he shows everybody that's sleeping on him that, you know, to wake up.
Rashard, I just got a chance to talk to your coach, Mike Mularkey, at the owners' meetings in Phoenix. And I was curious about, you know, maybe seeing if he was going to give Derrick Henry some more work this year. And he said, you know, we're kind of set with DeMarco as the workhorse and Derrick as the number two guy. But what did Derek kind of show you at the end of the season when DeMarco was dealing with the toe injury? And can you see him maybe taking on some more work and having success with that if, in fact, you know, Coach Mularkey goes that way?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I hope Derek gets more work. I mean, they're both great running backs. You know, I think they both do what they need to do and put the team in great positions to win. And, you know, sometimes, you know, they're scoring the game-winning touchdowns to put us ahead to go ahead and get that W. So I hope they, you know, I hope they go and use Derek more. I mean, he, you know, why not? You know what I'm saying? You know, don't, you know, I don't know. I'm not the coach, so I can't call the shots. But, you know, I hope we do use him more and but use them both enough, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Do you think they bring different things to the table? Like, what's something that DeMarco brings that Derrick Henry doesn't, and vice versa, something that Derrick Henry offers that DeMarco doesn't?
It's tough. I mean, because DeMarco, you know, he got a little swiftness to him. He can make people miss. He can run you over. He can catch out the backfield. He can do all that stuff too, you know. Even though he can't get his knees up when he runs, and I try to tell him to pick his knees up all the time, but he don't like to listen. No, I'm just kidding. But he's fast, and you know, he's a complete back, you know. And Derek is the same way. I feel, you know, Derek does the same thing, just as well. They both complement well off each other. Like I said, you know, hopefully we could just use them more and use them both enough.
Rashard, what's something that kind of drives you off the field? What are some of your passions away from football?
Oh, man, passions away from football. Just hanging out with my son, really. Hanging out with my family. Just, it's different when you have kids, and just watching my son grow and not really be able to be around him in the season. It's tough, but it is what it is. So, you know, my passions away from football are that and my dogs. I mean, I hang out with my dogs all the time, and, you know, work out. I love to work out.
How old is your son?
My son is 1.5. I think he's, what, 18 months? I like to say years. I don't like to do, you know.
Yeah, you get.
Oh, my kid is. I hate when I just a note. I hate when people are like, oh, my kid is 19 months. It's like, oh, so your kid's 1.5. Oh, okay. Oh, my
yeah,
kid
but,
is
wait
13
a minute.
Months.
You get,
oh, okay, so your kid's 1.
You complain.
You know,
I
hate that. I don't know why.
I have a 115-month-old at home.
Good with months up until 2 years.
Oh, man. I mean, it is what it is, but it's like, what's the it's like when you're, you know, when you're 20 or something, you don't say you're certain system. You know, it's like,
no.
You're 20, you're 18, you're 16, whatever, you know?
Well, you know, I'm not sure what you're doing in June, but I will be turning 396 months old in June.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, you're more than welcome to come party.
yeah. We always just make that like a little joke. We're like, you know, people are like, oh, how is your kid? You know, people are like, oh, 17 months or whatever. I'm just like, oh, yeah, my son's 1.5.
I'm going to just fire away at some quick rapid-fire questions for you to get you out of here, Rashard. Here we go. Funniest guy on the Titans.
Funniest guy on the Titans. Woo! Trey McBride.
Best thing about Coach Mike Mularkey.
The clown. Best thing about Coach Mike Mularkey. Well, that's tough. I guess they say he looks like Kevin Costner or whatever his name.
He looks like Kevin Costner?
Kind of.
I did not notice that.
I don't know if he looks exactly like him.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I've heard that before.
I've heard that.
Yeah, I guess he's actually been mistaken for him in some places, so.
Wow, I'd like to be mistaken
for Kevin. That's
not
bad at all,
No. Not at all. I do see it.
No, Rashard, our host gets mistaken for Teen Wolf. So
yeah, you guys shut up. best cornerback you have faced in the NFL?
Best cornerback I've faced in the NFL? I would probably say Chris Harris. He's really patient and he knows the game.
Are you bold enough to say who the worst cornerback is that you've faced in the NFL?
The worst? I don't know, man. I just
okay.
Don't.
I ain't
gonna put nobody down.
I don't blame you. I just wanted to see how far we could go.
Come on, Dave. Act like a 400-month-old already.
Yeah.
first luxury item you bought after signing your deal with the Titans.
First luxury item? Ooh, man. Tough. I don't know. I bought a house, so I'll just say that.
Okay.
I had everything I needed already, but I bought a house.
That's a nice purchase. Who were you rooting for in the Super Bowl?
Who was I rooting for? The Patriots.
And what was your reaction to their comeback?
I kind of knew it was going to happen just because you can't count them out ever. You know, just it's been recorded over the past couple of decades that, you know what I'm saying, they always come and do what they got to do in most cases, so... You know, I thought the Falcons were going to win. I'm not going to lie. I think 90% of America did as well, and especially when Julio made that great catch on the sideline. That was crazy, but for some reason they decided to do what they did, and it is what it is, but I was going for the Patriots.
What's your favorite movie, Rashard?
Favorite movie, The Temptations.
Have you seen the movie Die Hard?
Have I seen Die Hard? Ooh, I don't think so.
Yeah, we are getting old. Now we ask athletes, they haven't seen Die Hard.
Wait, is that the one with Bruce Willis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen it. Yeah, never mind. Yeah, of course.
All right, so the follow-up question to that is Die Hard a Christmas movie? I'm not sure. Are you familiar with it enough to comment? Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes. Is Die Hard? Yeah, I mean, any movie
yes!
you can watch with the family, I think, is a Christmas movie.
All right.
I'll watch that with my family.
This interview is over. we have it's a source of contention here. Rashard, thank you so much, man. It was a pleasure having you on. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Rashard. Continue success.
Yeah. We will be keeping an eye on Rashard Matthews for the Titans this year. And that's it for this episode of Fantasy Football Today. For Dave and Jamie and Rashard Matthews, I'm Adam Azer. We'll talk to you later in the week.